Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. It's hard to encapsulate a person's life and experiences in printed words. No matter how eloquent the writing, there'll always be moments and pieces left to speculation. This was one of Aja Monet's biggest worries when she first thought about publishing her poetry.
Although the poet's career goes back more than 15 years, her new book, My Mother Was a Freedom Fighter, is her first published collection. The poems provide a glimpse into Monet's experiences as a Caribbean-American woman growing up in Brooklyn and traveling the world, and they reveal the moments of contemplation that make up the fabric of who she is today.
Monet spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers by phone and began by reflecting on her career as a poet and how she came to creating this collection.
I have been reciting and writing and facilitating poetry workshops and working with poetry in the New York City poetry community for some time since I was a teenager. And I came up with a youth organization in New York City called Urban Word NYC. And I went off to college, I went to grad school, I traveled to Europe, and I've been performing since I can remember, but I had never really put together a full collection of poetry. And I think for a variety of reasons, but some of the larger reasons had to do with just accessibility and like timing and really in some ways even fear of just putting together a collection that would somehow reflect only parts of myself and not like the full scope of my work, because I've done so many things and I've been a part of so many different projects over the years. So what came to making this happen was as I, you know, became more involved and the movement for Black Lives became more prominent in the everyday contemporary conversation and public conversation, I realized that the issues and the things that I had been talking about for years that sometimes left me isolated from certain communities or sometimes made me feel as if I wasn't fully appreciated or valued, because I did a lot of conversations around politics and gender violence and justice and things of that nature. And I think that that was maybe part of the reason why I didn't feel very welcomed or supported in making a collection. But once I found a larger community and that these conversations have been happening, I think I felt like I could put a collection together and that it would be received at the very least.
As you mentioned before, for a long time, you were really just performing your poems. What is it like seeing them written down in this collection versus how you live them in a way?
That's a good question. I think I feel accomplished to do it, because for so long, I had said, oh, one day I'm going to do it, you know, and there were not a lot, but there were specific people in my life who were really like, you need to do this. And maybe that's why I even stood away from doing it more. I think now that it's actually a real thing and it's tangible and it's in my hands, it's still kind of surreal, because one, to have something that I could pull out of my bag and say, oh, all the poems I'm going to read tonight are from here. Like, I'm usually the poet that comes with like 4, 5, 6, sometimes 7 journals and like random scraps of paper to read. So it's like every time it's an experience on stage for me to just find the poems that I want. And basic, you know, simplicity, it's just nice having a lot of poems in a collection where you could just open them to a page and get to recite what you want. But then the other thing is sometimes it's really hard for me because, you know, what people see on the page is not always what reflects what I'm feeling in the moment. So poems, I feel like, are a process. They're not really a product. They're not meant to be digested and then taken as definitive thing. I feel like they're always changing as you're growing and developing. It's just a definitive, you know, so finite, like having something in print. And sometimes poems change for me, you know, based on a mood or where I'm at in reciting the poem. I'll repeat words over and over based on the rhythm or the inflection that I feel is necessary for that moment. And you can't always translate that into the written word. There's positives to publishing, and there's also just the things that you can't always translate.
So this collection, My Mother Was a Freedom Fighter, the poems come from really different parts of your life and your experience. What connects these poems? What makes them a collection?
Well, I think part of it is I'm the connector. and what connects them is, I'll coin the term or use the term that Kimberly Crenshaw really elevates, which is intersectionality. And I think that as I became more aware and I started to read more, I realized that my poems weren't these separate, isolated things that I only experienced. But I started to make connections to society and systemic violence against Black and brown bodies, but specifically women. And when I realized that, you know, these violences that were taking place in society were really so interconnected, I was like, wait, hold up. This is all stems from a deep violence towards women. And we have so much judgment of women, how they perceive themselves, how they portray themselves, how they move in the world. But we don't have any critical analysis about what has shaped the women to see themselves and move in the world the way that they do. And then also, how do I reflect on the things that I've experienced so that I can heal and move forward and make, you know, radical and transformative decisions that will elevate myself to a new place, that will take me out of, quote unquote, the suffering and bring about a revelation of some sort that can make me an active participant and agent of change in the world. For me, these poems are about trying to find freedom for myself and trying to understand what freedom is to me so that I can actively grow and heal and be a better person in the world. You know, I can't really tell other people what they should be doing if I'm not working on myself to try to do it. And that's a daily process. Some of these poems have gotten me through some really tough times. They continue to. And so they're connected by my own experiences in the world, but they're also connected by the violence in the world against women and women's struggle to respond to that violence and to heal from that violence. These poems have in some way been the way that I've tried to change.
There's this interesting stylized way that some of the poems were written, specifically language frontiers, but it's something that appears in others as well. The words are kind of scattered into different groupings, but they still have this linear meaning. In a lot of ways, it does feel like you're listening to someone say these words, but how do you describe that style, and what does it add to your work?
In that specific poem, I think what I was really working to do was to play with language in that way where you do sometimes feel a multitude of voices when you're reciting it, or even when you're reading, that I believe, you know, we're constantly in conversation with past lives or other selves. And that poem particularly came out of a really crazy experience I had, which might sound a little kooky, but I teach at this place called Omega Institute. It's a center for holistic studies. And I had like this really deep reflection when I went out into the woods one day and I was just meditating. And as weird as it sounds, I could hear and feel other voices while I was writing. And not in the sense like there's this voice telling me to do this or there's this voice, but I knew in my own voice and hearing myself recite the words that there was something else also speaking with, and maybe not just through, but with me. And so it felt like less about something talking to me or et cetera, but it was more about that we carry voices with us whether we realize it or not. I don't ever come to the page alone. I come with my ancestors. I come with, you know, other folks who walk with me in my blood who have been through these journeys. And somehow we assume that, you know, when people pass or that they're not physically here, that they're gone. And I think that culturally and just, you know, my upbringing, we knew that spirits were always among us and that we were never, you know, truly, quote unquote, alone. And so that seemed to be, you know, in this poem seems to be a kind of a, you know, reclaiming of that, especially, you know, having gone back to Cuba and some of the experiences I had when I was there, you know, growing up in America, and you don't really talk about, it's not something that's like in modern everyday conversation in schools, et cetera. You don't learn about those things. You know, I learned to have pride in this history of, you know, ancestral lineage and conversations that dealt with and went deeper into our spiritual being and the process, that is not something separate from us now. It's never been separate from us. And so writing is not just about really, you know, how cool something looks on a page, but it's also about how do you become a vessel, you know, and how do you really actively listen to oneself, one's history, and what that means for who one will become or how one will see the world is part of that listening, is part of that intuitive, I don't know, I guess calling. But that poem was me working through that and trying to understand, oh, this thing that seems like spoken word or slam poetry, whatever people call that, you know, that seems like this separate genre of poetry. Like, no, that's what poetry always was. You know, poetry was birthed in the voice. You know, it spawned from observation of the world, of course, and intuitive listening. But it is born on the tongue. And I think that that's something that poem is trying to talk about.
Something you mentioned inside of that, this idea that there are a lot of voices that come to the page, that our history informs how we view the world and how we live inside of it, seems to be something that comes up in almost every poem in My Mother Was a Freedom Fighter. Now, when I first read that title, like I guess I assumed that the poetry was possibly about the civil rights movement, that it would be specifically about your mother. But in fact, you have a poem by the same name, My Mother Was a Freedom Fighter. Why did you choose that as a title?
Well, because I was meditating on my own mother and how we talk about freedom fighting. And it's really weird. Language is a funny thing, especially English language. It's more anguish than it is a liberating thing sometimes, dealing with the English language. But, you know, freedom fighter could work like freedom fighter, fighting for freedom, or, you know, fighting freedom. There's a play on words there that is actually really interesting that I've started to reflect on. But what I've learned is that women who live and move in the world, particularly mothers, like just the world doesn't really seem to cater to mothers. It doesn't really seem to care about mothers, doesn't really seem to actively make room for life to be easier for mothers. And it's really interesting when mothers are the ones who give life and who create the actual workforce that we all benefit out of. You know, if you think about it in strictly numbers, you know, economically, because it's like one thing to romanticize a mother's duty and be like, oh, you know, mothers are the birthers of the world and really make that sound really sweet. But the practical reality is that mothers actually create the very foundation of how society and systems and people function. So if we are not celebrating and honoring the women that bring and have the ability to bring life for us, then what does that say about our society? And also, how do we create more room to really reflect on this ability that women have? You know, that for better or worse, yes, we're challenging how gender looks in society today in a way that has never been seen, you know, or talked about. But there's a reality that mothers predate, you know, gender, in my belief. You know, they have the capacity to hold both masculine and feminine energy in their body. And so that's why particularly women have never been in the efforts of, you know, delegating who someone is or isn't. They just honor that life is a life and a life is a life and it deserves to be nurtured and it deserves to be taken care of. But what society has done has made it very difficult for mothers to do that. And so I think that poem is really just looking at some of the horrors of these women who have moved in the world and historically who have tried to nurture and tend to the lives of the world. And if, you know, if we can start to look at that, then maybe we can start to really build a foundation for the society we claim to want, for what we claim freedom to be.
Well, Aja, thank you so much for joining me here on Lake Effect, and thank you so much for sharing your work.
Oh, thank you. I mean, thank you for caring to talk about my poem and for making time to have this conversation. I appreciate it.
Aja Monet is a Brooklyn-based poet. She joined Lake Effect producer Joy Powers by phone to talk about her first collection of poems called My Mother Was a Freedom Fighter.
Monet will be in Milwaukee this Saturday for an event at Boswell Books at 7 o'clock. There's more information on the collection and the event at WUWM.com.